May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 966. 966. Happy are they to whom the Lord his gracious name makes known, and by his Spirit and his word adopts them for his own. Hymn 966.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. He was even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Oh, ever merciful, ever gracious, yet holy, holy, holy Lord God. Oh, we bow before thee once more. Father, Son in glory, Holy Ghost, oh, be in the midst this evening. Blessed Spirit, oh, dwell in our hearts. Lord, we realize, great God of heaven, it is all according to thy will and according to thy grace. And that reality we do not escape. And it is a mercy we cannot. But how we need that inshining. We need the blessing. Lord, we need the assurance of thy love and grace working in us and to be upon us. That Jesus has died for me. Lord, thus we come to the sanctuary this evening, pleading thy blessing. What a word, what a broad word it is. It covers so much. O Lord, eternal life. O the knowledge of the Lamb of God, thine only begotten Son, O Holy Father, to be our Redeemer and our Saviour, or that we may one day be with him, be with thee in heaven, in thy presence, Holy God. But here we are, Lord, struggling on, a worm and no man, reproach of men, despised by the people, Lord, abhorring ourselves in dust and ashes. Thou knowest we do not just say these things. Thou knowest it is true. We do abhor ourselves so often. O Lord, but we have a self. But all we've been reading in thy word, sacred language, even the redemption of the body, and to wait, to be waiting for it. And dear Lord, help us to be among those who know thee and who follow thee and who seek thee and who are crying out to thee and speaking unto thee in our poverty, in all our need, in all our shame, in all our nakedness, crying out to thee and pleading that grace, that love that does put away our sin at Calvary. Or may thy sufferings, O Lamb of God, Lord Jesus, be exceeding precious unto us. May there be our drink and our meat from time to time. We want these living realities. Lord, we thank thee where we hope and trust in this awfully, terribly, oh, solemnly, oh, deceived, how awful. Dear Lord, we have many fears. Oh, Lord, but we plead the name of Jesus before the throne, having nothing else to plead. Oh, so we would come then, confessing our sins in desiring humble faith, the gift of God. Oh, that simple faith, that simple trust. Lord, we need simple things. Oh, to wait on thee, to trust thee, to know thee and to receive of thee. Help us to be hourly, daily following thee. Keep our souls alive, prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Certainly we do. Prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. That is what we need, the sealing of the Spirit. Seal it from thy courts above. So do look down. Have compassion on us. And bless the word. Lord, we come before thee in all our weakness, in our distress, in all our need, and cry to thee. Compassion, have on us, we pray, and set empty, send us not away. Lord, but we have to put our mouth in the dust. O Lord, so often, deserving nothing but thy judgment. Yet, or does not that mercy flow? Or here we are, pleading Jesus' name, and what a name. O Lord, a glorious name. O Lord, a glorious person. O Holy Father, O thine only begotten Son, may we behold him by faith. May we know him more. Or to consider that this glorious Holy Son of God should hold our right hand, saying unto us, fear not, I will help thee. Yet that is true. It is not only the gospel, it is a reality. Or that we might know this, but O Lord, how we fear to make shipwreck so very often. Dear Lord, so keep us in thy tender fear. O Lord, do keep us near thee. Keep us humble. Keep us tender. Keep us praying. Keep us watching. Keep us looking. Keep us, Lord, crying. Keep us near thy word. May thy word be a well of water, springing up, Lord, unto eternal life. So gather with us this evening hour. Bless this house of prayer. Remember the friends. Remember those that bear office, the deacons. Remember one laid aside, a dear friend. Remember him in compassion and bless him in his soul. Lord, let there be something from heaven. O Lord, let there something drop down. Visit him, O Lord, and assure him thou art with him, and recover him, and undertake for him in all his weighty matters and concerns. And their loved ones, remember our dear friend, O Lord, now in the loneliness, leading the public worship this day. Great God of heaven, go before him. Visit him, help him in every respect and every matter. May he feel that touch within, Lord, of thy eternal love. So do remember this house of prayer. Remember the church and the congregation. And likewise, we pray for Zion, our own group of churches. Remember thy servants, the pastors, and all of thy servants on the walls of Zion. Send forth labourers still into the vineyard. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines, the secretaries of our charitable societies. Do bless them in their labours. Dear Lord, do remember those aged ones. Evening time. Eternity is very close. The river, the judgment seat of Christ. Great God of heaven, dear Lord Jesus, hear the cries of the remnant. Or dost thou not supply the poor and the needy? This is the gospel. Thou didst on earth Thou hast not changed. Not at all. Thou art the same. So, dear Lord, thy year shall have no end. And we thank thee for this truth. Thy gospel has no end. Also, do remember our aged friends. Remember all in the middle paths of life, the heat and burden of business and care. Help them to cast every matter at thy feet. Lord, remember our young friends going forth in life. Bless the Sunday school. Encourage the teachers. Bless the little ones, the sweet babes. Or remember our young men and women going forth in life. Open thy hand. Provide for them. Supply their need. But may they know thy call. May thy tender fear be in their heart. Also give parents wisdom in nurturing their children in thy fear. Do remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Lord, many afflictions abound. Those under medical appointments, go with them. Or prepare us for thy will. Or have mercy on us. How we need to pray. Lord, sometimes trial is a wake-up time for us. We drift on otherwise, and sorrow comes, and huge sorrows. Oh Lord, may these things work for our good. Lord, and we read, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, how we do need to know it so, in our own soul, our own case, preparing us for that glorious day, a happy day. Yet, Lord, it's through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom, and we realise it daily. It is so, for thou art our strength. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. So remember all in affliction, in sorrow, care. Oh, do remember each then in mercy. Oh, do return to us as a group of churches. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines. Pray for them, bless them. So, Lord, help each, we pray. Lord, there are many things to pray over. Oh, remember the bereaved causes. We think of Bethel Luton. Oh, Lord, and elsewhere. Oh, we pray for Zion. Lord, even Coppice. We pray for the churches. Help thy people, Lord, and return to us as a group of churches. So remember us in Zion. Remember each, Lord, of the pastors and those that itinerate. Now, Lord, we pray for our country. Remember us in the nation. We're brought low. We've forsaken thy word. We're under confusion, under leadership. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Raise up those in our country, in parliament, statesmen, men of stature, even men who fear thy name, and guide us in the nation. Remember our King this coronation year, in these coming months and weeks. Lord, oh, be with him. May he know thee. May he fear thy name. Oh, hear prayer for our country. Lord, do raise up those who fear thy name to rule over us. We pray for thou wilt send thy servants out of Zion under the power of the Holy Ghost, as in former years, to blow the gospel trumpet, to sound the alarm,
O Lord, turn us unto thee as a nation. Lengthen out still our Protestant heritage, our civil liberties, religious liberties, freedom to worship. So have mercy on us and preserve us from nuclear war and a European war. Lord, we live in dangerous times. Stay the hand of the aggressor and turn him back. Lord, have mercy on us in our leaders in the West. Oh, some of them, they're so liberal. Oh, Lord, the President of the United States. Lord, what a shambles all over the place. Raise up men of stature in the Western world. Oh, have mercy on thy people. Hear their cries. The abominable laws that are so sought after. Oh, intervene. Undertake for us in the nations. Think of thy persecuted ones in Africa, those in poverty, the persecutions in China. Oh, we're in a troubled time. Have mercy on thy people in the earth, even thine ancient people, Israel. Turn them unto thee, we pray, in thy time. Dear Lord, we must and would thank thee for thy mercies, thy great kindness, thy goodness, answers to prayer, helps by the way. O Lord, how great is thy goodness. But, O Lord, there are those gospel mercies which we do bow in thankfulness. What a mercy we have a great high priest to make intercession for us. Thy precious blood. O dear Lord, the greatest of all blessings, our hiding place, the sufferings of the Lamb, the dying, the resurrection. O gracious God, these are tremendous mercies to sinners. How we need them. Oh, we pray for the living waters to flow in reality to our soul. We may know the fresh blessing of pardon and forgiveness in life and power. So remember us then. And we acknowledge so many mercies. We have thy word. Jesus in the word may be discovered. How we pray for these blessings continually. So we thank thee, Lord, for all these gospel mercies. The doors of Zion open. Now, Lord, anything we may have omitted to pray, do make up in giving. Holy Spirit, be you. Bring forth the glory of the Lamb of God into our hearts. Lord Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, be pleased to dwell in our hearts. Come, we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We humbly ask blessing now, eternal life, the presence of the Holy Ghost, bringing forth Christ into our hearts. We humbly ask all these things in the name of thy provision, whom thou hast sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and humbly pray this blessing for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1108. 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
dependence upon the Lord, who needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the chapter we read, Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and the first part of verse 35. Romans 8, the first part of verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It is a wonderful mercy beyond all description to have known the love of the Son of God, the love of Christ. Now, I'm aware there are many here, possibly I would not know, who may not have had any sweetness or knowledge of that love, but they are seeking it. But this is the word that is with me this afternoon. Paul writing in this chapter, really concerning the blessings of the Spirit and the liberty and grace given to his people, his church. It's a wonderful thing, dear friends, to know the love of Christ. It passeth knowledge. And it's a great mercy to be seeking it. Are you after it? Is it because you see a beauty, God's great love to lost sinners in Christ Jesus, and you realizing you are a sinner by nature, at whatever degree of sinnership you're in, whether it might be a great sinner or perhaps led a quiet life, perhaps an orderly life and an upright life in one sense, but still a sinner in God's sight. The great point is to be found in him. And the apostle was found in him, Paul, and yet he still longed to know him more. You know, that's a wonderful word in Philippians. And I'm sure you know, God's dear people often may filter this longing spirit. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Not just the knowledge, the excellency, the wonders of his eternal love. He said he counted everything else but loss. Meaning it cannot be compared. Nothing can be compared to the love of the Lord Jesus to your soul. There's nothing like it, is there? Had a touch. Friend, the smallest touch. It expands. Friend, you realize it's from heaven. It's an eternal touch. It might be small, but an eternal blessing has reached you in your life. But, you know, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and Paul did, and he counted everything but dung, that he might win this Christ, might win him, and be found in him. This is the desire of a living soul, be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness. Many say it's the hardest thing is to believe. I tell you something harder. That's to get rid of your own righteousness. Old number one self. Self-important. Think I'm right. It's a very humbling work, dear friends. I know believing is hard. We can't do it ourselves. It's all of grace by Spirit. But all that awful self-importance, that self-knowledge and thinking, you know, we've all got the same pride, spiritual pride. If we've been favoured of the Lord, we can get puffed up a bit when we realise others haven't. It's such a solemn thing before God. It's an awful thing
He'll keep you humble. And he did, Paul. And he, in the end, he counted all things but dung and dross, and not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, demanded by the law at Mount Sinai, but that which is the faith of Christ. Note this, the righteousness which is of God by faith, given, made over. Those on, you know, the righteousness of Jesus brought to your heart. Friend, that's a humble blessing. You realize it's so undeserved. Me? Me. You don't feel righteous, do you? You never will in yourself. But have you seen a little pinprick light in the wonders of the righteousness of Jesus given to the church? You know, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Well, Paul did know him. He did. But he wanted to know him more as a living soul who begins to hunger and thirst after righteousness. For Jesus said, they shall be filled. Think of that word, filled. Filled forever and ever. May we be among those hungry ones. He said, you know, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before, press toward the mark, prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, to know the Lamb of God, you know, Paul writing here by gracious experience brings forth this truth, a question. Who shall separate us from it? Has it been made known? You know, just a few droplets of the shower from heaven reached your heart. What a refreshing. The love of Christ. And in what he has suffered to redeem us. And realizing your massive, awful self. Yet he has dropped in that love. The Spirit has revealed it in a little way. Just a pinprick. Just a little. You know, but what a love. You know, who shall separate us from it? You know, what shall separate us from it? And he goes through those trials that we walk through. And we do walk through them. God's people do walk through them. And he speaks at the beginning of the chapter. He says of the law or the principles of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It doesn't mean that you still haven't got sin in the natural body, but from the judgment to come, what it will bring on you, what sin will bring on you, what Sinai's warnings will bring on your head eternally. You know, for the law of the Spirit of life, the principles of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, this is Sinai's law, Moses' law, the Ten Commandments could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law wasn't weak, but our flesh was weak. Our flesh is weak. And God, knowing this, sending his own Son, note in the likeness, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it, the righteous one, the holy one, in all aspects, sin accepted, no sin at all, righteous, holy, but in every other respect, not a sinful thought in the Lamb of God. We could hardly comprehend it, can we? when we know our own hearts. But he was the Son of God. What a mercy. Friend, and he kept the law and made it honourable. But here we see that sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Sinai's warnings and its righteousness as declared, given unto the church through Christ Jesus. He was the righteous one. And he walked in righteousness. And yielded his life up, a ransom, that we might live. That precious blood shed at Calvary to be our covering, as we said this morning. You know, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, they're after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Now, some of you are going to be saying, well, I wish I did mind things of the Spirit more. It always seems to the flesh I'm minding. But don't you at some point in the day start to pray? That shows a spiritual mind. I know you're not satisfied with it. You wish to be more spiritually minded. But we are creatures of the day, and there's much to attend to in this complicated age. But you know, to be carnally minded is death, dear friends. I believe you've been taught that if you're his. And if you're involved all day long with certain things, and you're you who fear the Lord and know the Lord, you feel so flat, so empty, even to a point of wretchedness. You want to cry out, you know, oh, I haven't been praying. Oh, and the word, oh, you turn to the Lord. You know the death that all these things of this earth bring to your soul, a living soul. But to be spiritually minded, he says, and when you have those hours or those times, especially on the Lord's day, when you may be in the Spirit and seeking him, you know, it's life and peace. Does the Bible describe you sometimes? When you read the Word, have you realized you've, in the book of Psalms, the Psalms of praise and so forth, you know, or the Psalms of confession, and there's much praise in the Psalms, you realize this is, you know this. You've walked this way as living reality. The principles that are working within. You know, if many men have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Isn't it solemn language? You know, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, that walk after earthly things only. And we all have earthly matters to deal with, but is there that cry, dear Jesus, come, dear Jesus, bless me, and so forth. But then there's that leading in this chapter. You know, are we being led of him? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a mercy to that little leading. A little leading in the Word. I know you're not satisfied. You know, we long for heaven. We long to be with Christ, which is far better. But you know, as many as are led to follow him or whatever it might be, brought closer to him, searching his Word. Many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Oh, have you had a little leading in spiritual things, in the Word of God? You know, you long for the rich blessing from above. You long for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in authority and power. But has there been some leading? It's a wonderful thing if there has. You know, for you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You know, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's sonship here. Oh, dear friends, would hesitate sometimes, well, most of the time, to even think that I could be a son of God. I know we are naturally a God's creation in Adam, but sonship with Christ. You know, you feel, how impossible. Who am I, Lord? How can these things be? But beloved friends, in Christ Jesus, they are known, one with him. You know, and it is through love. I want to keep to the text a bit more now. It's through love to him. And the reality in this is, you know, who shall separate the love of Christ? You know, in John, we have John the Apostle saying, don't we? John the Evangelist, that is. Herein is love. Ponder it, dear friends. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't. And we're sometimes very aware of it. We didn't love him. But he loved us. But he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, an offering, a reconciliation, a oneness, to put away our sins, sent his son. Now, he sent him into the world, but as the sinner, has the Spirit brought us as sinners to him, and he has visited us, or made known his gracious power. Well, that is love. That's the love of God, the love of Christ. But herein is love, he said. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in that epistle, we have some very deep language. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's overcoming the world in our hearts by love. That's not us overcoming. It's God working in us. But there is activity. I've said here before. Living faith, there must be an activity in the soul. Put it an exercise. Put it that way. Perhaps we have to use that word in our circles a lot more. But an exercise is activity, isn't it? Of the Spirit. The activity of grace going on in our heart from heaven. There must be. You may not feel it very often, but it works secretly. God works quietly. The Spirit works quietly in the soul. And sometimes things are opened up and you don't realise it's the Lord, but it comes to mind. Maybe later you did realise it was the Lord that was showing you. But these things must be personal. It's one thing to know about truth. Another thing is to receive the truth by life and power in the soul. That's the groan of the believer. He longs, longs, longs for the river to flow into his soul. You know, this is, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. You know, the waters of washing, cleansing, the water of life, and the blood that he gave, the blessings of the Son of God, the blessings of heaven. And then he goes on to say this truth, there are three that bear record in heaven. They bear record of all the grace and all the blessing of the child of God. And they bear record of our prayers and our cries. It's all known. You know, you and I forget what we prayed for. I prayed my way up here this morning. I had to in that torrential rain, was further in the south. But I can't remember what I prayed. But those prayers have gone up for a memorial. Think of Cornelius. Unto God. God knows every groan. Every groan in your life in prayer is all recorded in heaven. Can hardly comprehend it. You can't remember. You may remember things you prayed for. You may remember one special petition or certain times of when you poured out your soul, but you can't remember it all, can you? All known to the Lord. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, that is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. In eternal covenant love and union to his dear people, his poor prisoners on the earth. And then he goes on to say, there are three that bear witness in the earth. Friend, they witness the love of God in Christ Jesus, don't they? And the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Christ dying, Christ's love, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of love, and the water and the blood. Friend, the Spirit, that is love, isn't it? That is love. And these three agree in one. You know, and he says there, here that Son of God hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, the first clause is very good, very wonderful. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And you love him in your heart, you long for him. But then it says, if you've not got him, you have no life. Beloved friends, what a question for us all. But who shall separate us from this love of Christ in his dying love? Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, rooted in love, and well grounded, established in love. This is the love of God, friend, and the knowledge of him, he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth and height. There's no end, is there? No end to this glorious truth. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What higher language? You know, we're poor things, but grace will fill us. Friend, fill us with the knowledge of God, the love of God. You know, the fullness of God. God's fullness of love and grace toward us. Well, dear friends, these things are written for our instruction, that we might know them, that we may be earnest after them. But it is the Spirit that quickeneth, isn't it? The flesh profiteth nothing. And Jesus said, and has he spoken, the words I've spoken are spirit and life. They are spirit and life in the soul. Well, he goes on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now that often may be a comfort in a providential way. But think, friend, able to get me to glory, able to deliver me from the wrath to come, able to deliver me from the bottomless pit, which I know I deserve. Friend, he's able. He is able. And the hymn writer says, I don't know, I can't remember which hymn, but He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. But he sent his only begotten Son into the world, didn't he? You know, and Paul writing there says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Walk in love, dear friends. You know, the love of Christ will cause us to long to walk in love. I know there are many things that worry. Stands have to be made for what is right. I wholly know that to be true. But to walk in Christ's love, think of how he's had compassion on you. And ponder how I should have compassion on others. Well, walk in love, as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. You know, when the Lord Jesus yielded up his life, there was a sweet-smelling savour. You know, God was reconciled to his dear people. He already chosen them. And he made known his love and grace to them. But what an offering, the sweet-smelling savour. You know, our sins are answered for in that blessed sacrifice. Well, words fail us really, you know. The prophet Isaiah says, doesn't he? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. What a promise, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and go forth in the dances of them that make merry. I know we wouldn't dance, dear friend, and have timbrels and tabrets and things, but you know it shows a measure of joy and praise, and it must be so. I noticed in Psalm 31, I think it's Psalm 31, I did mark it. It is Psalm 31. He says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. And David did love the Lord. And we know he loved the Lord. Love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. And then he goes on, plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Oh, love the Lord, his saints. And I think also comes to mind is, dear Peter, you know, there's solemn denials, but, you know, there were the seven, weren't there? And they'd been fishing. And have you any meat and so forth? But at the end of that, he goes on to say to dear Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And three times he asked him. And dear Peter was getting rather grieved. Peter was grieved because he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? You know, very humbling. I know I've said this here before, but he took him through three times of the three denials. You know, reminding Peter of his sin, but the question of love. And what was the answer? You know, and Peter said, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Dear friends, the Lord knows you love him. Bear in mind, we love him because he first loved us. What a mercy it is to have the love of Christ in our heart, and there must be a love to him, his word, his ways. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Friend, that the love of God in choosing us, in election. Tremendous, isn't it? How could God love us? He chose us in his Son. Before we were, well, before the world began. You know, and here we are living in down to 2023. And we realise that love has been in our heart. And you know you love him. You failed him. I'm sure you failed him today. How often we go home and say, well, you know, I failed in so many things and so many ways in Zion. You know, and I feel a poor thing. And you are a jolly poor thing. And I am as well. But is there love in our heart? Grace toward him. It's because he loves us. You know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, that electing love. Friend, and we did read, didn't we, in this chapter, I think just over the page. And we know that all things work together. Yeah. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You were foreknown if you've got the love of Christ in your heart. And God has predetermined that you should be found in the image of his Son. And conformed to the image of his Son. In righteousness and holiness. Not in the flesh, but in the soul, in the spirit, by longing desires. And, you know, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn for you, of one family in heaven. Christ the firstborn. It's a tremendous truth, a doctrine. Often hard to understand. We're such poor creatures. Hope I'm not speaking wrongly tonight. And I know we want sometimes experience brought forth, but here is the truth of the love of Christ here in Romans. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Have you been called? It means you're predestinated to be conformed. Now, you can't perform it, can you? But grace will. The Spirit will. And it's through many valleys, mountains to go over. Dear friends, it's a narrow way. And he goes on to say, whom he called, them he also justified. It's God that justifies. We can't justify. Friend, to be found in Christ Jesus, the just one. The righteous one, the holy one, and whom he justified. Them, notice, it's the Lord that's doing it, God's doing it. He also glorified. Now, you can't glorify yourself. You can't justify yourself. You didn't call yourself either. The Spirit worked in you. Well, who shall separate us from this love of Christ? You think of the word made precious. You know, the word of God becomes precious to you. And there's love in that. And it's God's love working in you. How you plead that word of promise. That word of grace. It's the love of God. And it cannot separate. Love in the word given to you. It, you know, even the trial you're in. And it may, things are not working out, yet it doesn't separate you from the word that was given to you. And yet the word might be verily tried, verily tried. Well, what a wonderful thing to know the love of Christ. You know, Paul writes, now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I do remember as a boy, and I didn't really take it in, but Mr. John H.G. at Maidstone, you know, and Morwell several times, and it seemed to be on a Sunday evening, He often spoke from those last two verses. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Now, what he was persuaded of was the love of God in Christ Jesus shall not be able to separate us. Not be able to separate us from the love of God, the love of God's love in his Son, in Christ Jesus. Well, what? Death. Paul was persuaded that death, that grace you've known, even dying, will never separate it. Friend, I know we believe these things generally, but when it comes to your own soul, you've got to die. And it's a great matter to come down to the valley, isn't it? It's no light thing to die. No light thing at all. Entering eternity. You know, neither death nor life. Think of all the things in life that happen. But they don't separate us from the love of God. Some very sad things. Matters we're made to weep night after night over. In sorrow and care. It doesn't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he then says, "And nor angels." This of course must speak. They can't. And of course angels sent from God won't. But what about the fallen angels? Satan appearing as an angel of light in your heart with, and God's dear people, fear this greatly. Is that light within me darkness? How great is that darkness? It's a fearful thing, isn't it? But that doesn't separate you, those fears, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nor principalities, kingdoms on the earth, and so forth. Nor powers, powers of persuasion, powers of philosophy, whatever it might be. Political arguments. Or the powers of the enemy in this life below, coming upon us, cannot separate. He goes on to speak of things present and things to come. The unknown way. What you're walking through now. Why through darksome paths we go. We may know no reason. But we shall each hereafter know. But we shall hereafter know each in his in due season. You know, nor height. You know, the holiness of God. It's a fearful thing, but nor depth. The depth of rebellion in his people, the depths of sin. Friend, the depths of unbelief. They cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was persuaded of it by the Spirit. And nor any other creature, and so forth. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it speaks of those things: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Perhaps we think of those things more spiritually. You know, our forefathers, persecutions. You know, it's a good thing for our young people to read church history. Time of the Reformation in this our land and in Europe as well. And some of the wars that went on in Europe, dear friends, the 30 Years' War and so forth, persecution was rife and terrible things were happening in Europe. How the saints suffered terribly. You know, we know so little of that today. But who knows what lies ahead. But the word says, cannot separate. How we need to be spiritually minded. How we need the Lord Jesus. Words like this make us feel all the urgency of having the Lord with us. And to having his light and his word in our heart. But it's received by faith in the soul. Well, dear friends, here's another word also. Who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, it is God that justifies, as I said just now. Friend, he justifies. What a mercy. Well, what are you wading through? The cares, the sorrows, the fear of the unknown way, the trials you're in. Beloved friend, they won't separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Or you're tried. Have I known that love? Well, as I've said just now, friend, do you love him? Do you have a desire in your heart? And has he spoken? Come now. You know he spoke. Now you doubt it. Now you wonder. You remember the power the effect it had on you. Well, friend, well, what will separate us? Well, Paul has decided, none of these things. Nothing below, in other words, can separate us from God's love, the love of God, as wonderfully displayed. Emmanuel, God with us. Christ Jesus, the love of God in his only begotten Son, in the love of God which is in, which is displayed in, which is known in and discovered in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, spoken in weakness, only the Lord can give the power and the blessing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen.
The collections today are for the Christian Institute. God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And let us close with hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from arms rests within his shepherd's arms, who his quiet shall molest, who shall violate his rest? Hymn 1071.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion, unction of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.